96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You've heard this phrase in news stories over and over and over again. The juvenile has been charged as an adult. But what does that mean? Well, it means, depending on the crime, teenagers, some as young as 14, 15, 16-year-old teenagers, can be charged, prosecuted, and jailed if convicted with adult offenders. Well, my guests tonight say it's time for that to change. Carmen Doherty is the policy director for the Campaign for Youth Justice, and Philip Mosby spent 10 years in the D.C. jail before going to federal prison, all of this beginning when he was 16 years old. We're talking about this tonight. Lines are open. Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also hit us up on Twitter at hashtag The Daily Drum. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Why is this an issue now, Carmen? Hasn't this been going on for literally decades in American jurisprudence?
It has absolutely been going on for way too long. We're at a point where nearly 200,000 kids under 18 are entering the adult criminal justice system every single year. We're the only developed nation in the entire world who treat our kids as adults in this way. We're the only established economically advanced country that places kids in jails to die under the juvenile life without parole. Up until 2005, we were sentencing kids to die through the death penalty. So we're seeing some changes and some momentum around reform right now. So this is a perfect time to talk about this.
What has prompted that momentum, that change?
I think the issue of mass incarceration, you hear it on every station, you see it on TV. Everyone wants to talk about mass incarceration. And this contributed to that. In the 90s, we had this epidemic and this so-called super predator of the 90s, where people were afraid of black males, black male youth, afraid that they would rape, rob, kill you. A researcher came out saying, yes, if we don't lock them all up, we're going to have this whole scenario where there are super predators all over the country. And we know that hasn't happened. And in fact, that researcher has come out and said this, I was wrong. This was not the solution.
Philip, you entered the D.C. jail at 16 years old. Why were you in jail, and what was it like as a 16-year-old serving time with adults?
First, I was charged as an adult for second-degree murder. And we had our own part of the jail, which was the juvenile unit, and we had no contact with the adults because it was a safety issue. And being as though we couldn't have no contact with the adults, we was limited to a lot of different things that pertain that will help us in our cases or whatnot, as far as law library, getting some free time out, you know, going to recreation and stuff like that.
Because all of those things were really for adults.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes it's a stress reliever just to walk around, get the fresh air at the recreation. We were supposed to have recreation 5 days out of the week, but it might be three, it might be two. Hey, it might be, you might just be stuck in the cell or in the unit for the whole 5 days. It depends on how the staff is. And as far as the law library go, it helps you out in your case. If you can find a case that's similar to yours, that a law has been passed for, mm-hmm. then you can use that case in your case.
Did you ever have any interaction with any of the adult inmates?
Yeah, of course you're going to have interaction. They're the ones who bring you your meals.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time, it was an adult, and he had some words with a juvenile, and the juvenile actually spit in his face
mm-hmm.
because he knew that he couldn't get to, you know, the adult couldn't get to him. So And it was threats made behind that. You know, once you turn 18, you know, I'm going to do this, that, and third to you.
Because now you're an adult. Yeah. You're legally an adult. But then you went to federal prison.
I spent 8 years in federal prison. As far as I've been was California. Mm-hmm. And I did 3 years in California. I did four or five years on the East Coast. But it was a transition because being from D.C., it's... You're already discriminated against. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your family and stuff doesn't have the funds to come way to California to visit as often as they would like.
What do you think being incarcerated as a juvenile did to you emotionally as it related to your development? And, you know, obviously, we don't have enough time to go into the story here, but obviously there were things that led you down the path. But as a minor, as a juvenile, as a 51-year-old man, I look at someone who is 16 and I say, as a child, being incarcerated, even if you are sequestered from adults, it had to do something to you.
It makes you hardening inside, makes you cold-hearted, makes you, you know, you against the world. As you say, I mean, you're a child, so you're just not rational thinking. You're just thinking, why me? Mm-hmm. Why me? You know, same guy with the same charge. Got charged as an adult. Why get the ace of spades? Why he couldn't get the ace of spades? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it just opened your eyes at the end of the time. It opened your eyes. But at the beginning, it hardens you. It makes you cold-hearted. You just...
It changes you.
It changes yeah. you completely. Mm. I mean, it can change you for the better. It can change you for the worse.
We are talking about youth offenders incarcerated with adults. Is it time for a change in our judicial system? Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rochelle. Calling from Northwest Washington. Thanks for calling.
If you'd like to make a call.
I guess we've lost Rochelle. Rochelle, give us a call back if you can. Let's go to Octavia. Octavia calling from Silver Spring. Octavia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, dear. My understanding in listening to the young man, I realize that at this time, this is what needs to happen. First of all, a lot of the children that are going to school are being bashed or actually out in the world are being bashed for whatever reason. The first and most important thing is if in schools that they actually get this uniformity where everybody looks the same, everybody wears the same as well as the teachers, that would actually begin a start of combating some of the bashing that goes on for the children.
Octavia, if you'll allow me, I'm not sure I understand what your point is. When you talk about bashing, I'm not clear. What do you mean?
It preempts them to want to go out and hurt somebody or do something to somebody because they are targeted. So when they get upset, you know, they actually get out and they do something that hurts somebody else that they have to get forbearance for.
But let me say this, and I think I understand your point, but I think the question that we're asking tonight is, if these youthful offenders commit crimes of various and sundry forms, should they be charged as adults? And I think that my guess, and don't let me speak for them, but I think the issue is that youthful offenders should be treated as youthful offenders and not as adult offenders.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't believe so. I think that we should work up some type of understanding to get and target the understanding that these kids should not be charged as adults. They shouldn't be.
Okay. Carmen, you want to speak to what she's saying?
Sure, and I would agree. I think there has to come a point in our policies and our statutes where we seek to understand why youth are doing these things. We're beginning to understand brain and adolescent development, understanding that kids are unable to really grasp the consequences of their actions. I've heard the analogy that adolescent brains are like race cars without the brakes. So they're going, 100 miles per hour, not thinking what are the consequences 2 or 3 days down the line. I hear the caller talking a little bit about the school to prison issues. And of course, the way we police schools has changed dramatically since the early 80s, the 90s. So I think that could be a longer discussion about the school to prison pipeline. But I honestly think we have to start looking why kids are behaving the way they do instead of immediately punishing them in the adult criminal justice system.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Youths charged as adults, prosecuted as adults, incarcerated as adults. Is it time for this to change? Let's talk to Debbie in Tacoma Park. Debbie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead quickly, please.
Yes, absolutely. I do not think children should be tried as an adult. This is something that's very near and dear to my heart. A child is a child and has never lived as an adult. And when you try a child as an adult, they look to adults for safe havens and understanding and help. So if you're trying them as an adult and an adult is doing this to them, I think it would be a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm. Debbie, thank you so much. If you are on the phone, I need you to stay with us because you will be able to hear the program as we move toward a break. So that means Kevin in Northwest, Dwayne in Maryland, Melvin in Northeast Washington. Please do not hang up. The lines are still open as we continue to take calls on this very critical issue. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.